So several weeks ago, we began to discuss some of the halachas of Birchas Kohanim. We mentioned a Gemara in Saita. The Gemara says, "Mitzas Kohanim, Birchas Kohanim, Chaviva hi Yadai." And the Gemara says, "Minayin shakadosh baruch hu misaver leBirchas Kohanim. Hakadosh baruch hu is very desirous of Birchas Kohanim. Shenemar, v'samu et shmi al bnei Yisrael v'ani avarchem." The parsha that we just read yesterday on Shabbos, the parsha of Birchas Kohanim, and Rashi comments over there, and I've spoken about this Rashi in the past, a very striking, incredibly dramatic Rashi. Says Rashi, "De'en nesiyah sakayim tzorach Yisrael, elo tzorach hamokom." The one who's in need of nesiyah sakayim is not called Yisrael, but rather whom? Ribbono Shel Olam, davar niflamo. Ribbono Shel Olam is the one who is desirous of nesiyah sakayim. So I believe I said several weeks ago, in the name of Hagoyim, Rabbam Akoyim Pam Zatzal, I was able to hear Shirun for many years, from the age of 13 to about the age of 19. So on Fridays, so he explained this, Rashi, in light of the pasuk in Bereishis. The Torah says, regarding Avraham Avinu, the Bible says, Ki Yidativ. Yidativ, the way the Ramban writes, and Rishonim explain, the Shon Chiba, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in love with Avraham Avinu. And the pasuk goes on to say, Leman, why? Asher Yitzav Es Bono Bez Beso Acharon, V'Shom U'Derach Hashem Lassus Dato Nishpo. Why is Hashem in love with Avraham Avinu? Because he commands his children to follow the Darkei Hashem. And then the pasuk ends by saying, Leman Hovi Hashem Al Avraham, Es Hashem Dibre Alav. In order that Hashem should carry out to Avraham that which he promised him. The pasuk is very difficult. Avraham commands his children to follow the Derech Hashem. Why? In order that Hashem should fulfill to Avraham that which he promised to him. That sounds like Amanas Kabo Pras. Clearly a means to an end, the ultimate end being to receive a reward. Namely the reward that Hashem promised Avraham Avinu. And Avraham Avinu, the Rambam calls him the Oy of Hashem par excellence. The Rambam per Gud Hilch Tshuva. So much you thought that that Rambam, 10 Prokim are connected to 10 days of Aseret Metshuva. First two Prokim are 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. Last paragraph deals with Avas Hashem, is Yom Kippur. And the Rambam there tells us that who is the exemplar of Avas Hashem? Avraham Avinu. Everything he does is Shalom Nasek Avraham Pras. And the other apostle seems to be very much not in sync with that piece, with that idea. So Rambam interpreted this in the following way. He said, you see that the Ratzon Hashem, he wants to be Mashpiyah Brocha to call himself. The whole tachas of the Bria, the Ramban writes in Chumash, Olam Chesed Yibonim, in order to propagate Chesed. Hashem is the Baal Chesed par excellence. And by Avraham Avinu, the Oy of Hashem par excellence, he tells him, act in such a way where you'll be ready to be Mekav Brocha, and that's the Ratzon Hashem. Because the Man Ovi Hashem al Avraham is not a tzerech of Avraham Avinu. What does he tell his family? Don't do anything that will share the Ratzon Hashem. That will prevent the Ratzon Hashem from coming to fulfillment. That's exactly what Rashi means in Masechet Taita, that the Nesiyas Kapayim is not a tzorech for calling yourself, but it's a tzorech of Hashem. He himself wants to be Mashpia, brought to call yourself, and therefore, that's the whole idea of Birchas Kohanim. Okay, that was just a bit of the Hakdama. Now, to come to the halachas of Birchas Kohanim, some of them we discussed several weeks ago, and now we'll continue along our very way. The mitzvah of the Nesiyas Kapayim, that a Kohen has to raise his hands. So, of course, the Gemara says, this is well known, the Gemara has in Saita, that a Kohen who refuses to duchin is over on three mitzvahs asay. And the Gemara cites duchin. And the Rambam writes in Hilchos Tefila, that he quotes that Gemara. And of course, the Easter is only when the Kohen is summoned. That's when the Easter is operative. It means that the Kohen is called, and at what point is the calling critical? Ritzeh. That's how Chazal established Let's say Hashem Elokein is the point where the Kohen is called. And then if he does not ascend to the Duchen when he's called, he violates what I mentioned, these mitzvahs I say. Now, if someone already said Bechas Kohen, we have sitting in this room a Kohen who does it a number of times. Mechaz Ve'agodol. I don't know how else to describe it. The Kohen is only obligated to Duchen once a day. Not obligated to Duchen more than that. Maybe Duchen early in the day. He's not obligated to do it again, even if he's present. When the Kohanim are called, when they are summoned, Tosfos points out, Rosh Hashanah, Chafes, that there's no Issa of Al-Tosfos. And if an Ami, a Kohen can continue and Duchen any number of times. But the halacha is that only if a Kohen is summoned is there an obligation to Duchen. Namely, would say. And number two, once he has Duchen, that day, there's no longer any need to Duchen a second time. There's a Kohen, actually, in this neighborhood, I don't know if it's any of you, he goes around from shul to shul. I don't know if you know who it is. He's one of these tzaddikim. Now, if there's no one else, I'll get to that. Give me a few moments. More than a few. But anyway, the halacha is that in order to violate the aseh of Birchas Kohanim, there has to be a hazmana, the Kohen has to be summoned. And we already mentioned before, the first Mishnah Berurah, the first Bi'alach, and then Birchas Kohanim over here, in Siman Kuf Chav Ches, close to the Sefer Haredim, that just as there's a mitzvah Livarech on the part of the Kohanim, there's a mitzvah on the part of Kohanim, so Lehis Barech. We are obligated, we Yisraelim, are obligated to be the recipient of a bracha. That's the famous Kiddush of the Sefer Haredim. And somebody may ask me the following question. This was asked to me already a while ago. Let's say a person has a choice of attending a shul, will he pray a Torah, but not Birchas Kohanim, or vice versa. Which one takes precedence? What should he do? Well, Rosh Hashanah has a question, Tzkiyas Shevet versus Tefillah B'Tzibur. We're discussing that. But I'm asking the question regarding, assuming there are only two choices, Priyas HaTorah in one shul, not Birchas Kohanim, and another shul, whatever reason, only Birchas Kohanim and not Priyas HaTorah, which takes precedence. So the Torah, this really is totally on the question that I just discussed, namely, is the mitzvah only on the Kohen, that he's obligated to bless Klal Yisrael, to bench Klal Yisrael, or the Sefer Haredim, the Bi'al Locha cites, there's also the mitzvah that he's Baruch. We are obligated to be the recipients of a bracha. That's question one. Question two is whether, how do you view Birchas Kohanim? How do you view Kriyas HaTorah? Is it a Cheves Yochid? Is it a Cheves Tzibur? So generally speaking, we assume Kriyas HaTorah is a Cheves Tzibur. If there's a Tzibur of 10 people, there's an obligation to hear Kriyas HaTorah. It's a Mishnah Masech Megillah, it's a Chiddush Ramban over there, and many Rishonim pass the halacha. The brisk is based on the Vilna Gaon, a very machmir. They hold that Kriyas HaTorah is a Cheves Yochid. It's an obligation upon each individual. It's against Hesin Saita, against Hesin Bachas, against Rabbi Rishonim, him out against the Mishnah, him out against Ramban. But that's where the brisk is maintained. So I, for example, have been in Chutz Laaretz a fair number of times where I missed a parsha. They were ahead here and there to sell, and I was behind. So what did I do? I done it at least three times, maybe four times. I did it in LA, I did it in Muncie, I did it two other places. What I did was I gathered together a many of Jews, and I asked them if they're willing to listen to Kriyas HaTorah of a parsha that they basically already heard. So of course, essentially, they don't know what to say to me. To refuse me is not so comfortable. So I made it comfortable for them. In two cases, I sponsored a Kiddush. The other two cases, I sponsored a big Shal Shuvas. So they, while I was reading the Torah, they were busy, Baruch Hashem, being the kind, be there with you. They were behind. They were, no, I would have missed, I'm just trying to remember which way it went. I missed the Pasha, that's all I know. I missed the Pasha because of the doubling, the issue of the doubling of the Pasha. That's what happened. I don't recall that with the details. It was once in LA, luckily there was a Shiva Sabak who was also there at the same time, so I went over to him. Harav Hirsch, and he's an American fellow. Anyway, so he was very much in favor of this mahalach, as long as I was willing to take care of whatever financial obligations were involved with me, I'm going to convince her to do it. And then in case of Muncie, it had to be my nephew. I was staying with my nephew in Muncie, and they're also rearranging it. And the two other times, as I said, it was not a kiddush, but the Shal Shivas that I arranged, and that's what we were able to do. Because I'm my Rebbe, Asalvechi, was of the opinion that it's a famous yoti. It's an obligation upon the individual. This needs a separate discussion. That's not really for now. I'm just mentioning it there. The Mishnah says, the Machaber at the Mishnah, it's the Gemara. The Gemara in Sefer says, if a kohen has to wash his hands before Bechas Kohanim, and the Gemara comes to Pasuk, interesting enough, Pasuk is dealing. My mother, Hashem, was very into this Pasuk. When she would wash her hands for Hamotzi, my mother would always say this Pasuk, Suri Dechat Kodesh, Uvar Has Hashem. I don't know how many people do it today. Oh, my wife. Very few. I myself don't know. But the Gemara quotes that pasuk in the context of kohanim washing the hands. But the question is there a separate mitzvah that a kohen is obligated to do in tias yadayim before he blesses Kal Yisrael, before he engages the birchas kohanim? Or was it simply a kind of instruction for the kohen to make sure that his hands are clean for the bracha? And the machnapimina between these two positions is whether a kohen who washes hands properly in the morning, as all of us do, before shacharis, and he pays attention, he's not masiyach das, to make sure that his hands don't become tamei, and now can rely on that, and therefore not wash with birchas kohanim. That's enough machnapimina, whether, how you view this washing before birchas kohanim, is it, as I said, an obligation that before birchas kohanim you have to wash your hands? No, it's simply a din that you have to make sure you're dying the kiosk. So the Kesa Mishnah, in his parish on the Rambam, Hilchos Tefila, which is in Hilchos Tefila Kapayim, which is part of Hilchos Tefila, parish as well. So he writes over there very clearly that the Rambam believes only a Kohen who didn't wash his hands before Shabbos, or a Kohen who somehow, it was Eschatas, he wasn't careful and his hands did not become Tameh, he has to wash what we have done. Only he requires washing before it has gone. And he wrote, he quotes actually a little guess in Mishnah. Just a bit of the weather. He quotes Rabin Avram and Rambam that his father, Rambam Paskin, when asked that a kohen should rely upon the early in the Tias Yadayim, which is done for Tefillah, etc. So, in effect, his father passed the law and Echonami. And apparently, that was the custom in Egypt. That was the custom in Mitzrayim. Namely, they were samech on the, this is in Beis Yosef, the tour, that they were samech on the Tias Yadayim, now has to pass the halacha like that. It's also the Chabad Shulchan Aruch, but we don't generally assume that. It means it's interesting that Tais in Tzaita, where I saw on Daf on the test, he quotes actually Girsa, Rashi quotes his Rebbe, that a kohen who washes his hands for Shabbos doesn't have to wash his hands against the Beis Yosef. Not necessary, not required to wash the birchas kohanim. But Taisa rejects it. Taisa says, no, he has to wash his hands. And Rashi there does not mention his Rebbe's teaching, but he says the kohen has to wash for birchas kohanim. So it happens that the Chabad passes like the Rambam. There's no need to wash. As long as you're not masiyach das, you're not mitami your hands, no need to wash. But as I said, that's not the way la'alocha we pass in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch actually writes that that's the way Ashkenazim generally are knowing, that we wash our hands prior to the, we means the kohen, wash our hands prior to the Nesiyas Kapayim. And it's interesting that the Torah writes actually over here in Kuf Chav Ches that the kohen should say the bracha on the Tias Yadayim. When he washes his hands, he makes the bracha before he recites Bichas Kohanim. The documentation says over there, as the Ramah, the documentation is perished on the Torah. So he writes that according to the Rambam, Tias Yadayim is not necessary at all. If you wash before Shabbos, you don't have to require a bracha. But whatever the case is, undoubtedly, if the kohen was with Tami's hands or with Masiyach Das, then certainly he would decide a bracha according to this position. Mishnah Berurah calls Elio Rabba, says, we don't make a bracha. That's the meaning of Ashkenazim, is not to make a bracha, and that Tias Yadayim before Bias Kohanim. Now, it could very well be that the need for a bracha might be totally, and this machlok is the Rambam, on the one hand, and Tesis, like I mentioned a moment ago, it's according to Rashi and Tesis, that there's a mitzvah to wash one's hand before Bichas Kohanim on the part of the Kohanim, a bracha should be said. But according to the Rambam, it could be that you only have to make sure that your hands are on the kiosk. Your hands are clean. Therefore, there's no bracha necessary in that kind of situation. But whatever the case is, there are those who are medakdek Rambam said this halacha, that since this Netilas Yadayim is based on the Netilas Yadayim that the Kohanim did in the Beis Hamikdash, namely the Kiyum Kana, the Parsha Kisisa, it should be done with the Kli. And it should be a revius of water bought directly by a person, Kaf Gavra. We'll get to the Levi in a little while. But in extenuating circumstances, the people offer the estimates to me. Generally, I always carry a Kli in my car. I carry a number of things in my car, a Shas, a Rambam, a Kli, whatever is necessary in order to, in case one is stuck in the Sahara, I don't know, somewhere, or there's Iceland in some desert area. The shadow often is, can I wash from the faucet? And can I use liquids other than water? So always be the other, yes, I'll be this one. The need for a Kli is only really mikradin in the morning. And the person washes the Shabrachwa, if he washed three times or four times after Gra, which is my minig, I have many minig on Gra, or the Vilna Gaon. So, but whatever the case is, a Kli is not necessary any other time. However, whenever I wash my hands, I always use a Kli. Always. Doesn't make a difference what situation, in the Betzavel, in the case of Yesedayim, Ramotzi, Yesedayim coming out of Besakise, whatever it may be, I'm always with the Kli. That's another Bumra, Nami Kwan Mikradin. The Chabad Paskins, how far must the Kohen wash his hands? He has to wash his hands till your wrist. And the Kohen is a Midrash, that's a Gemara Kulin. That till your wrist, you have to wash your hands, even on the Kippur. So again, the Alokim Shabruah Paskins very clearly over there, that a Kohen should still wash his hands up to his wrist, even though the din is that, generally speaking, when we wash our hands, it's Isur Mechitza on the Kippur. So only allowed to wash until the top of your fingers. But a Kohen should always wash, even the Kippur, that's under Shabruah Paskins, that till their wrist. I think the minhag seems to be, and that's what I've seen my whole life, that the Levian, who assisted there, I should call them the cousins, the Kohen and the Sabigdash, so they wash their hands in the Kohen. What's the makar for that practice? This troubled me for decades. So if you look at the Beis Yosef over here in Kuf Chav Ches, so I was in Kara Reitzel, who's translated, he said, I heard this was the practice in Spain, that the Levian would pour out the water out of the hands of the Kohen. Below Yadati, makar was there. I don't know what the origin of this is. What's the makar? Levian washing the hands of Kohen. Ad shechonan osi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, umatzasi b'zorah HaKadosh. The Zorah HaKadosh, Pashas Naso, that's the makar for Levian washing the hands of Kohen. The makar is a Zorah HaKadosh. By the way, just as a kind of aside, it's very rare. Very few times do we find that the Beis Yosef in the Shulchan Aruch and the Chaber, Rabbi Yosef Karo, who was a giant of the Mekubal, a Kabbalist beyond belief. Very rare for the Chaber to quote anything of a Kabbalistic nature. That's a bit of a pella. He was the Mekubal par excellence. We know from the Magid, from the Sefer called the Magid. He mentioned when I was 13 years old, I went and bought the Sefer in the Yad. And I discovered that Sefer is based on a Magid who appeared to the Beis Yosef. And even he's a Musa, all kinds of interesting things that I found. He has some beautiful Pshotim in Chumash and in Gemaras that the Beis Yosef heard from the Magid. But in the Shemalach itself, it's rare. There are those who actually have done a study on this. But in the Beis Yosef, right here, so he mentioned this idea that the makar for Levi in Washington is the Kohen, is the Zoya Kodesh. But this is called the Shomar. He quotes it in Kuf Chav Ches in Zivvav. Mentions clearly that Abba Mishanadu HaKohen Yideim Shachris Chazin V'Neidim Yideim Adaperek Ba'alevi Yotzik Ma'im Al Yideim. The Levi is the one who pours the water on their hands. Mishabura said there's no Levi, a Bechor. His daughter does it. Do gam kein kodosh tas. He has a bit of kedusha. Yimein b'chor, toiv sheyit al kohen ba'atzma. Better than kohen should wash his own hands. Mishe yatzik Yisrael al yodom. I was once present when this took place. Actually, I never see any of this because I hold my feet together in Tzvonesa and Chazar Sashatz for the last 55 years. I haven't changed my position. That my Rebbe was not like that also. I saw Rebbe. But even before he did that, I said, do that. My father shot was not back then. He got it from somewhere. It wasn't a Talmud of Soloveitchik. Also, we keep our feet together in Chazaros HaShatz. The Elu was a Shadin Shon Esrei. Our Soloveitchik was so machmir at the going, he didn't answer Baruch Hu B'Shmo. I do answer Baruch Hu B'Shmo because I don't want people to somehow discontinue that practice. And therefore, I do answer Baruch Hu B'Shmo. The going held was a Hefzer. Baruch Hu B'Shmo Shon Esrei. And this Beka Adir, the Lashon HaAmam, that is not only on the Soloveitchik's dig, it's found elsewhere. Rabbi Sternberg Shlita also has a similar diagram. Speaks about two different types of tefillah, tefillah b'tzibur and tefillah ha'tzibur. Tefillah b'tzibur is when 1,000 of us daven Shmoneh Esrei b'lachash, the silent Shmoneh Esrei. And tefillah ha'tzibur is when one natzi, one representative of the entire tzibur, represents the entire tzibur in saying over the Chazaras HaShatz. So the Rambam seems to speak about two different types of tefillah. One is tefillah b'tzibur, one is tefillah ha'tzibur, and there's a din Shmoneh Esrei. So it's interesting that the Ramah writes over here that the custom is for the Levim to rely upon their washing before Shachris and not themselves to wash before they pour the water for the Kohen. But the Nagla Levim, we told you they have Tchilah, Rak Samchuam and Tilas and Shachris. They themselves are some of the washing they did in the morning. The Bach, who's the author of the famous Perish on the Tour, so he writes that he founded an old Machzer in the name of the Maril. All the Ashkenazi Menachim come to the Maril, at all. But most of the Ashkenazi Menachim come to the Maril. And so he writes, he founded an old master. There's no Levi. And Mr. Roy said that the Bechor comes, who's a Peter Rechem, first from his mother's womb to wash his hands. And that seems to have been the custom. Many reject this practice. Many do not accept this practice. There was a famous Badi Gobel, a Chaim Benavisti. I think he lived in the 1600s. So he actually writes that in the Knesset HaGdola, that that was the custom in Izmir and others. The Gabachai rejects that practice. The Bechor is not involved at all in this issue of washing the hands of the Kohanim, but the Mishnah Berurah assumes that. And I saw the name of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, that's all, also assumes that. And that seems to be the practice. But as I said, when neither the lady of Bechor is present, that the Kohen should wash his own hands. Now, a Kohen who did not wash his hands at all, even before Shachris, is also not allowed to say Birchas Kohen. That's a Gemara. That's a Gemara in certain Baal Pe Test, a clear Gemara, you cannot do Birchas Kohen. Okay. Next issue, removing the shoes before Birchas Kohen. So that's a Gemara.
Another question. Is washing is not ma'akeh. That's a pretty Kohen finishes davening just before it's
said.
Can you go
after
that watch?
Okay, I'm getting to that too. I will go to discuss. I'm just trying to go the fast way there. I'm sorry? You can't?
No, I'm saying
that
some of you
are
always
ready
to watch.
I'm saying, but the point is, if you saw me, according to the Rambam Shita, in the morning, as long as you know, you're not with time in your hands, which is not really so difficult, right? You didn't watch it for a little while. You don't wash your hands in the morning either. Okay, that is the issue is ever come to that needs a separate shear, but that's true or not, that I'm not, it's not so posh. But certainly, if you're not going, if you can't do it, that's not a posh, you can't do it. Let's get to the issue of shoes. Removing shoes before Birchas Kohen. So that we know, there were 10 takonos of Echem and Zakai. This is one of the takonos of Echem and Zakai that Kohanim cannot wear shoes when they are doing it. The question is, what's the reason? So first, the Gemara suggests you should cover that tzibur. The Gemara rejects that. The Gemara said, what's the reason? Maybe one of your shoelaces will become untied. Kind of bad. They didn't have, that's right. They didn't have slippers, crocs, I don't know, whatever, moccasins, whatever people have today. So the issue is maybe your shoelace might become torn or untied. And then you bend out the tie. Oh, people say he's a Ben Gusha. He's a kind as possible. Obviously, that's why he's bending down. That's why he's not involved in Birchas Kohanim. But there are two reasons, actually. Why is it that even outside of the Beis HaMikdash, a Kohen should remove his shoes? One reason is Derech Kavanat Tzibur. That's called Kavanat Tzibur. Rashi says over there something very striking. Rashi says when the Kohen lifts his hand, so he raises the hem of his robe. And thereby, he might be exposing his muddy shoes, which is not Kavanat Tzibur. That's not Prophet Da'achas, that's what Rashi writes over there. And the Pashtas, the Gemara seems to have rejected that reason. The Gemara suggested maybe to Shukam, the Gemara says, no, that's not the reason. Others maintain that the reason is valid. You can go to the Maskana of the Gemara. But going to the second reason, as I said, we're afraid that they become untied, the shoelaces, the straps, and then he bends down in order to tie them. And in such a case, people may misinterpret his actions as an attempt to avoid being part of the Maskana because he has a problem with his personal status. He's a part of a marriage that's also to occur, and something along those lines, people might make that kind of a mistake. Even though in general, the Chazal have a principle, that people make mistakes. But here they don't say that. The question is, why is there a chiluk between the general principle and this needs another shiur? When do we have to be worried about Nisim, Mekim, Hashem, and Yisrael, Tabishim, Shkolim? When do we say, Kalawaitz, Elitus, Yavav, Yitta? Why by Michas Kohanim, we don't say that? Why right away, we're going to accuse someone? So, yes, Makom Bechalim, Tim, Michas Kohanim. And everything else. That's what I would say offhand. It needs a bit of an explanation. I'm sorry.
Why didn't Samus Moshe Rabbeinu appear in the spirit? Like Chabad Kodesh. She was speaking to the Kodesh.
You're asking a very good question. And there, the Pasuk says that Shalom Ne'olach is found twice in Tanakh. Once by Moshe Rabbeinu, once by Yeshua. Shalom Ne'olach and now Ablach and Ke'amok and Moshe Atarim and Olav Adnas Kedesh. So the Sinai, our Sinai certainly was Adnas Kedesh. Our Beis HaKnesses is a Mikdash Ma'at, the Ramah Megillah. So Eila Mikdash Ma'at, Posim Mecheskel. It's not exactly, doesn't have that kind of Mikdash Ma'at. So Pashas, that's why I would not apply offhand. But as I said, these are the two other reasons that I give it. There's the whole discussion, the Shabbat is a famous talk. I deal with this Kalei Yom Galayla since I moved there to Israel. I was rubbing another shul, another side for 22 years. And there are a lot of Israelis who daven that shul. You know how they daven? Without socks. Now they daven with shorts. Now they daven in a very casual kind of, let's put it, a casual kind of look. So I was very makbid that you can't duchen without socks. It's a Mishnah Berurah. Now, is it Mikuba? Is it Ma'ake? So the Pashas, it's not Ma'ake. Mishnah Berurah says the Talmud because it's not common to walk before a Noshim Chashuba without socks. Well done.
That's how
you do it. No, it's a leader in seven aloha. The aloha is a tzitzah between the kohanim, the feet, and the floor. At the touch of the floor, the Besamigdash. And even though it was cold. So, because of there, the cannot be chatzitzah. Here, there's no Mishnah chatzitzah. Here, this is a Migdash Ma'at. But Mishnah Berurah passed the aloha like that. Anyway, in my former shul, so I had an office right off the side of the shul, large office. And there, I carried an entire, literally, haberdashery store. Socks, pants, jackets, ties, everything was necessary. I could have opened up a clothing store with it. And any coin that came along, many Israeli coin, were not part of the shul. Those who were part of the shul knew that they cannot look in my presence without socks. I wouldn't let them. And but the others, they saw the clothing situation and they quickly went into the office in order to change their clothing. To be able to do it in a proper kind of way. Now, but sometimes you're not able to remove your shoe because of sickness or some other disability. And sometimes you find yourself without sufficient time. For example, soldiers who come often to the shul who are coming and they're wearing these army boots. What an asek to remove the army boot. So they're going to discuss, can you say b'chaz konim while wearing shoes? B'chaz hatak, yesh al nidismo, for that as well. I mean, it could very well be that that the reason that
hey,
someone goes up to the duchen, I'll discuss it separately. What does it mean, the duchen? The kohen is standing above the tzibor. Other the duchen, the poskim say, refers to three tzvachim. A duchen, just as I mentioned, when someone came to me here the other day, someone who was new to the shul, and he is a kohen. He doesn't daven here, and he asked me why we have the mats. Why are the mats over here? What's the market for a mat? So I told him the following. He was almost in his life, he never had anything like that. So one can give several reasons for the mat. Reason number one, they don't want to get their feet dirty, they don't want to get their socks dirty. Balabatish reason. Zelotam, if we have news that day. Reason number two, the reason why we have a mat is because we want to line them all up together, all the mats are lined up, so they should be not just equal distance from each other, but in a row where they'll be able to somehow coordinate whatever has to be coordinated. And that needs usually someone with a beautiful voice like we have over here. The Kitzer, that's not the reason. I said, there's another reason. They couldn't believe that was the reason mentioned by Achreinu. Duchin is not mocking. The Gemara says, Rosh Hashanah, they're coming to Eru Duchin, three Tvachin. But there has to be a bit of an elevation, even if it's a mashu. That's the man. That's the mocking for the man. He's found a biscuit chewers. He didn't believe me. Got to find the biscuit chewers in the shul to show it to him. I told him yesterday, I have this favorite joke of mine. Where is this found in the Sefer Mayim Amukim? Where is that Sefer? Right here. Anyway, so not everything has to be Yaakov Basav, Yad Hashem Allah Yizkir. Okay, so Enochanami, that's the marker actually. But the fact is, it's not in the Beis HaMikdash. It's a Mikdash Ma'av, as I said a moment ago several times.
Why?
Yeah, but that's already the reason for that is because, yeah, because Isur Chatzitza. It shouldn't be a Chatzitza between the Kohanim and the Mok and the fall of Beis HaMikdash. That's what it used to be. Machamelo Chamin. Remember, the people here, they're Dafyemi. I'm not as serious about them as Dafyemi as they are over here. So I'd say a Shir Eir once a week on Friday. So once a week, I am serious. But anyway, Machamelo Chamin. They used to warm up these because it was cold, the Beis HaMikdash. But that doesn't apply over here. There's nothing in the Chatzitza. You can wear socks, except Mishnah Berurah says not to. And I was mocking on that Mishnah Berurah. I learned Hilchos Birchas Kohanim. I teach in my yeshiva for the last, I'm not exaggerating, 21 years. Every year we learn Birchas Kohanim, sometimes twice a year. It's all the Kohanim. They can't look in my yeshiva unless they come to the course of Birchas Kohanim. So that I do, by the way, at 10 to 9. That's why I have to run like a maniac. From here to get to Shalayim and Yifit Sadeh every single day. It's not simple, not partial at all. I really need a helicopter. So yeah, I saw the other day that I forgot which of those. A drone is fine, but I prefer a helicopter. More comfortable, kind of surrounding. What? No, they have that day where everybody was having Yom Ha'atzmaut, Yom Shalayim. The Air Force goes into action. That must cost $7 million. They can provide me a helicopter too to get to Shalayim. Anyway, but some say the reason for that suggested by the Gemara, they only apply to a kohen who literally ascends a duchen, who goes up on a platform, which is above the tzibur. However, if the tzibur cannot see the feet of a kohen who's standing on their level, so therefore the takar and zakai perhaps doesn't apply. That's what Rabbi Avadya Zatzal suggests in Chabadas. I think he also has the tshuva of Valdenberg with his Eliezer. Also along those lines, and these kohanim should preferably wear shoes not made from leather, without straps or laces. And Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in the Tshuva that was mentioned in the second chelik, he writes that if people know what the status of this kohen is, he has a particular disability, so it could be all the reasons of the Gemara do not apply. So yesh ani lismach in all these situations. But I was very machmir. The socks, boy, kohanim, these Israeli kohanim couldn't get past me. And one of them said, then once happened, this happened, the Maaser Shoya, I was really put up against a very difficult situation. A kohen arrives. He was a kohen also. And he had yardside. He had yardside that day. And he comes with shorts. And he's going down to the oven in shorts. Not on my watch. That's not a question. Under no circumstances. So he was, and then he got very emotional. It was an emotional thing, the yardside. And then there was a side told, listen, I have all the haberdashery. It's in my office. Everything is there. Socks, all dressing room, right? You can, no problem whatsoever. And actually, he might have kept no swarm in that room. I had a shiloh because often people came to change. I became a change room in my office over there. But it was clean, so everything, I'm machmer and everything. So briskets are very machmer in every single area. I mean, So the problem was that day several other kohanim came that way and they already beat him and they already took all the clothing. How many sets of clothing do I have to put the sex? So I was really and he started crying that he couldn't have him. So I said to myself, what am I going to do? So I passed him, very rare for me to issue such a sock. The Gemara speaks about a pocheach, like Rabbi Gilliam. Okay, someone who is essentially exposed. So I took the largest talus I had in the shul. I wrapped the talus around him entirely. This talus went around him 2 or 3 times. And I told him, and I tied the talus with a gadol around him. People in the shul thought that the Rav had just And I let him daven for the Omrim, and he was in such a state of simcha, and he agreed to keep that gavel and the talis the entire time. And I told him otherwise, he covered everything. Mamish, mikaf regel, arosh, ein bam b'sayim, as the Navi says. Navi speaks about petza, makad v'chavur atriya, lo zirgul v'chavashu, lo rucha v'ashamen. It wasn't that far, but I covered it entirely from top to top. And they got such a, the photographers came to take the heaven shul, to take the picture of this guy. I happen to have a copy of the picture, but I put it in the cherem. So then I asked, I go to the Nevitzol, what about that psalm? He started laughing at Nevitzol. Then he told me, he says, you have Yesh Lecha, Avdei Vithush, Umar, Mifutach Mo'ob, Avon Shoeh Ba'alocha, Ha'im Nahakti Nachom? 100%. Vishah Shatak, 100%. אבל לא הייתי מציע דבר כזה לא חתינה, ברור שזה לא חתינה, אבל המצב היה פשוט אין לי ביגוד. זה simple matter, I have no problem with my international store, my clothing store, what was I supposed to do? So what I was going to do is I would give my jacket, and I would dive with the talus, etc., but it wasn't going to help me, but I wasn't going to give my... I was even thinking of davening myself via chidus or going elsewhere to another minion and giving him my clothing and not they should be able to that after the makwe of the song. Okay. I don't know what the bidarim anymore are. Because I'm now in a different room, Shana Bakim, Shana Mazel, so I don't have any concept of time. And Baruch Hashem here, there are no clocks. Do I have a watch? But usually it's not working. I'll just mention one more din about the duchid, if I can. That's all. I'll end with that because we have a Kohen HaGolim Echel arrived at the scene, so I should be polite to his order. I do my mitzvahs and let's do Shabbos. And I met probably I know close to 20 of my grandchildren, all different ages, and we came to Maskana that I come from a different generation. And it requires too much of that, much of a chiddush. And one of them, who knows the shtickle, was read a little bit. So he told me, he knew how to say it in English. He said in Hebrew, I'm pre Neanderthal man. So, every single.
It's a compliment.
That's how I saw it. Oh, Dol Shekibanti. Thank you. Dol Shekibanti. They have a totally different value system than I have. These are all fine young men and young women. I don't know what world they come from. I don't get it. So what did I proceed to do? I had one occasion, we were in Hebrew, the English is not their language. So I then proceeded to give them at the Fat Musak in the middle of one of the meals. And they were stuck there. They were waiting for all the treats and all the other kind of ride. I was gonna come out, so I told them whoever was involved, my children, don't give it out until I finish what I have to say. And I'm long-winded, I'm not a short-winded fellow. And they heard such Hatafat Musar at every single erech of mine. And then one of them said, Zaydi, and I said, I'll give Mashiva Masha Zaydi Allah. Hey, we'll drop Shayn and Shia. That's what he had to say. And then each one had to say, etc. All their comments focus. Anyway, so I'll just mention one thing about the Duchin. The Duchin is based on a pasuk of Chumash. The Gemara actually writes this in Seita. I will just read you. I'm going to read all the Gemara because I Xerox all the Gemara, but it's not necessary. Gemara speaks about a duchen. It's not ma'ake. I was many years ago in Shivata Kotel in 1971. I remember from 71. When I was in Shivata Kotel, so I saw the duchen was not enough to handle all the kohanim. The svadim all the oil of the duchen, all the svadim shekut. And the ashkenazim remained on the floor. So then I came to Maskana, the svadim are more makbid on this issue. It's not ma'ake. It's really not indispensable. The Birchas Kohanim implies even without duchen. But there is a concept of duchen. And so now I've just made one or two items. The Gemara says here, I'm sure my lady, I'll just translate it, that it says, the Kohen is not Shein Oile. Ba'avoida cannot be Oive, cannot ascend later on. I'm looking at Pasha Shemini, I'm skipping the whole Gemara over here. It means you have to begin your ascent, is that the proper term, during Ritzei, or your journey has to begin during Ritzei. And the Akronim question, what exactly is the limit? What's the limit? While the Shia Tzibur is still reciting Ritzei, or while the Tzibur is in the process of entering Amen, or maybe even afterwards, as long as the Shia Tzibur has not begun the next Bracha Moedim, it's still within the bounds, still within the So what should a kohen do? And this kind of asks me all the time in yeshiva, where I sometimes daven very rarely. But there, so the Shemoneh Esrei is pretty quick relative to a shul called Beis Tefillah, which is twice as long as the Shemoneh Esrei over there. And the reason is they don't want their young talmidim, they don't want them to be alienated. I don't understand that alienation.
They don't daven with brus together?
Of course they do. Brus also davens pretty quickly.
Really?
And they don't like long davening. They have now a slichas, they say, which is a taktzir of slichas. That's what Agoyin of Dabba Miller introduced, a taktzir of slichas. So I told Dabba Miller, other Mizorka nation, what is this taktzir business? What abbreviated? We abbreviate Borer, we abbreviate Bishon, we abbreviate Lado Shabbos, we abbreviate Tefillah. I don't understand it. So he told me, as my grandchildren told me, you and I are from a different door. Again, Nochamal, everything, that's the answer, they have to everything, but from a different door. So that's the justification for all this. So the power of offering Kohanim, the Shemoneh Esrei runs longer, and now they don't have time to wash their hands, as we mentioned, what the Bracha would say. So what do they do? So basically, Chubas in that Sefer, which is really an amazing anthology, an unbelievable collection that this fellow, Rabbi Ben, was put together, he said the Kohen should walk quickly to the washing basin, to that area, pass it in the general direction of the Dukhan, and then return to the basin. Now, that kind of gesture is called Keilu. He's already on his way towards the Dukhan. But he's trying to indicate that there's to be some movement, as long as there's some movement in a forward direction towards the area we're going to wash, that's sufficient as far as this halacha of ascending.
Is it washing back to the Dukhan?
Okay, so that's the question. So is it towards the Dukhan? Is it towards the washing basin? So there are different opinions there. Hashulman says, imagine, move towards the washing, there it's on the side, actually, the outside the Beis HaMikdash. So even if you walk towards it, that's also a proper sense with the Eved, because washing is part of the Hachadah of the Mitzvah. And a Kohen who does something, but this man, Bechaz Kohen. Now the real question is, I thought you were referring to this, Kohen with Avi Shemoneh Esrei. It's known as Sam Shemoneh Esrei, very, very often. And so what do you do? So there's a Psaka of Mechaber, he writes it, here, Machabe says here, I think it's over here in Kufaf Tes. Kohen shelo mizbalim adayim, umotz etzim mizbalim, naisei kava vein tefila ma'akvoso. He's a middle of Shemoneh Esrei. So Machabe passed in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, what does he do? He can participate in Birchas Kohen. Means he stops his Shemoneh Esrei, goes to Birchas Kohen, and then goes back to his Shemoneh Esrei on the rebound when it comes back. I mean, the same thing applies in the middle of the Kriyat Shema. What? Yes, yes. Now, look, in general, is it Tzerech, for example, let's say a baby is crying, and the baby, you try to shush the baby the way people like to do with all kinds of gesticulations and I don't know what, and making faces and who knows what. At the end of the day, you can't shush the baby, so then you have to go and pick up the baby, and you're allowed to do so. That's a Tzerech HaTfilah. Well, for that matter, let's say a person thinks he's davening by heart. And then he realizes he doesn't know the Shemoneh Esrei about it. He has to go to the Aron HaSoan to get a sim. He's allowed to go to the Aron HaSoan to get a sim. He was talking about Kohen in the middle of Birchas Kriyat Shema. And now they're up to Birchas Kohanim. He should try to finish that parak. At least to finish in Inyan, that's what he should try to do. He's unable to finish the parak of Birchas Kohanim, he should still join the Kohanim. Because there's no, it's no worse stopping the Birchas Kohanim than a person who is, as the Mishnah said, now covered. It's allowed to be masked now covered, which is allowed. So let's say, what about Psyllid Zimmer? That's for sure. You can be mapsing on Psyllid Zimmer, no question about it. That also happens quite often. That so you can participate in Birchas Kohanim. But again, the key is that you have to move, God would say. No matter whatever you are, the movement has to begin with Rizay, otherwise you will not be able to Duchen, and you have to leave. You have to leave the Esak Neses. Now, I just mentioned that what about if a person, as a result of participating in Birchas Kohanim, you'll miss some kind of that is part of the world, even in Amad Beit Shemesh. There's a problem over here where that happens. I was told by some of the people I don't travel over there, so I would not know. But I find 8:15, like the middle of the day. I don't know who dabbed at 8:15, dabbed at 8:30. That was 9 o'clock. It's like 3 o'clock in the afternoon for me. But anyway, so if you ask me what time that is, the time is 12 o'clock. I was like, maybe I have to The Mishnah actually says over here, he writes in Kuf Zayin, that if you see by you are Mishtadim Ben Adonim, you're going to miss Man Tfilah. So then you should walk out and daven and not participate in Berachas Kohanim. Now, the problem is, however, let's say they already announced Ritzei, there's already there was a Hasmana, there was someone already to Berachas Kohanim, and by not joining, you'll be Oven Issa Daraisa. Then the Pashas, the Iser, or the Din Daraisa Berachas Kohanim, the Pashas offhand, it seems to me, should override the Iser Rabbanan of reciting Shemon Esrei after this Zman Tfilah. Mr. Brewer actually said over here, I just mentioned Mr. Brewer. Mr. Brewer says here, if the person has already been called Ritzei, and he prayed that by doing so, he'll miss the latest time the Romans will be Kriyashma, that's a Din Daraisa. So let him say one pasuk of Kriyashma. And many contend, not much, because that one pasuk is Din Daraisa, based on the Gemara, the second paragraph of Prophets. You can fill the bits by saying, I have the first of the first and the second paragraph of the Shema. And certainly, as much as possible, avoids the in the side of the problem of Bechas Kohanim. What about again, in the middle of El Shemon Esrei? So that's a famous Jew with Radvaz. Radvaz writes in the Jew, but you're the only Kohen in the Shul. This happens quite often. The halacha is that without him, they won't have Bechas Kohanim. You should go and be Masu Bechas Esrei, say Bechas Kohanim, and then go back to your place and finish your Shemon Esrei. That's a psak of Radvaz. And if there are other Kohanim there, then you should not do so. But again, the Magen Avraham here, he agrees. He says that even though the other Kohanim, you're summoned, then you have to do so. And there's a Machlokes HaPoskim, the little rabbi, is called like this. He contends, he questions, even one who's summoned to interrupt the Shemon Esrei in order to be part of the Berachas Kohanim. In the Mishnah Berurah, Kuf Vav, the quotes of Yaakov Emin, he agrees. He says that Kohanim should not interrupt the Tefillah unless you're by Sim Shalom. If you're right there in the Berachas Kohanim section, then you're allowed to go ahead and interrupt the Tefillah. And okay, so in summary, it seems that only one who began moving towards the Duchin during Ritzei, and he himself finished Modim, so he should go ahead and participate in Birchas Kohanim in the middle of his own tefillah. And again, you saw Birchas Kohanim that you did in the morning, so you have to go and wash your hands again. But again, if someone interrupts the Shemon Esrei in order to recite Birchas Kohanim, should make sure they should wash their hands before Kriyashma and go near the place where the Kohanim say the bracha to minimize whatever interruption they might have to engage in. The other Kohanim, so then you should go outside. Other Kohanim will take care of the problem, and therefore, because Mr. Brewer actually, again, in deference to his opinion, he requires him to go ahead and ascend. Yeah.
But the Kohen that's
going to
the
Shemaster
shouldn't wait for the Kaddish to go back.
I think he should wait for the Kaddish, the Pashas, that's what I would say. Only because of what I mentioned the other day, that the Orphan Kohen do not, I actually spoke about it after they already left. Because of Yasher. The Yasher Kohen, I'm not going to be Yasher Kohen, but Kohen, I'm not the only one left in the city. Anyway, so people take it for granted. They don't appreciate the Brahman Kohen. My father Shem was very knocked about it, and I saw it only so, knocked about it in the Chutzarts. And we only have it there, what, 5 times a year, 6 times a year? Not too often. My father felt that they are worthy. And I mentioned this, I said a shiur about this already once, but I could say a few more shiur on the topic. I was going to talk about the spend on the Shabbos and Nusra, but I have a shiur on Bayis issue with the shiur, and the couple was there that decided to address that issue. And they asked me afterwards, both of them came over to me, came actually to my house, how to make that. They asked me, did you have us in mind? So I answered in my typical fashion, if the shoe fits, wear it. Anyway, so the... they said, what does that mean? They don't understand that expression. Okay. Believe me, I will tomorrow continue on some other aspects of Bimel's Kohanim with your Rishos and the permission. Thank you for coming. Hashem should bless you. Okay.